an Iranian response or a Venezuelan response. Venezuela could not resist. Iran is still resisting. And so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Well, Mark Becker, professor of history at Truman State University, thank you so much for joining us again today. Good to have you. Thanks to Sarah, Samer, and Lainey. I'm Esti Dinor. Thank you all. We'll be talking again next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WORT Madison.
If you can't afford to feed none. Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got a year. Wow! I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice, a sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, I got you. When I hold you in my...
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I got to warn the listeners, I only had 4 hours of sleep last night.
Oh, you got a dog.
Exactly. We have a new puppy, and I was up a lot of the night, and when I was sleeping, I was dreaming about these fountains of puppy diarrhea. So, you know, it's just what we're having to deal with right now. So yeah, it's all fun and games till it becomes real.
I hate to admit this, but my beloved sheepdog Shemp that I had for like 14 years.
Sure.
When she was a puppy, we had like, you know, like little fantasies that, well, you know, if she got out and got hit by a car, it would be sad.
Yeah, but. Yeah, it wouldn't be that sad. No, this is it's a lovely puppy. It's mostly, I didn't even know this thing existed. It's a kind of a French mountain dog. A chien de montagne des Pyrénées. So, so yeah, I can only give her commands in French, though, which is really, assis, lest, things like that. So,
you know. How many cigarettes?
Bonjour, yeah. How many cigarettes? She smokes like a train.
Sit. Oh, right.
Yeah, very, yeah. Very, very disengaged. Definitely the case.
Me? You want me to sit?
Yeah, right. We do have some good discussions, though, about the positivity of negativity. So that's that's when she puts on her beret. But, yeah, no, it's 4 hours. I got 4 hours. And I forgot. Okay, so we have, folks at home, we have a code to get into the studio.
Yeah.
And I, every single week, dutifully, just like, you
sure.
know. I think I'm ChatGPT because I got it wrong. I went up there and I'm like, blah, 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 you know, couldn't get in. You know? I caught ChatGPT out on a mistake, by the way, and the other day. I won't go into the details of it primarily because I can't remember now. But it did that thing it does where it made a mistake and I said, no, that's not right. Oh, I know what it was. I was talking about driving to visit my aunt. And whether there are any flights now, direct flights between Madison and Columbus, Ohio, because both these places are becoming big deals. And you can, might imagine, like, top-level CEOs waiting to go back and forth, you know, right away between the two airports.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing said, no, but don't worry, because it only takes 6 hours to drive to Columbus. And I wrote back and said, this was Google AI. And I wrote back to it and I said, you should check Google Maps because that's not right. And it did its thing where it goes, oh, good save, you know, kind of thing. Oh. Hey!
Lainey's
here.
You have another visitor.
We have another visitor?
Oh. Cosmic Carl, who's here to present you with something.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. May I let him in?
Well, does he know the password?
No, I didn't ask.
It's swordfish.
Have you frisked him? Frisked him yet? Or so
she does that for free.
Yeah, she does that for me every time.
That's
I come
a service
in.
She provides with no incentive at all. So, that's why we like Lainey.
We got a lot of visitors here. Our friends Patrick and Jan from Menominee.
Yeah.
Did I get your names right?
Yes, yeah, very good. How? Don't ask me what they are. I don't know my own name right now.
Hi.
Hey. And who are you? What do we got?
One for each of you.
Mississippi. Oh, my Lord.
Thank you.
Did you make that yourself?
They're little wooden
Cosmic
signs.
Cosmic Carl, God's Cosmic. Own carpenter and a fearless man.
Hey, Cosmic, how you doing? I love these, although it saddens me.
Why?
Why? Well, because it says Mississippi. I don't want to live in Mississippi.
That's reality.
Yeah, I know. All right. So what he's saying is we should be realists. Okay.
So they're little homemade wooden signs.
Yeah, there's a lovely.
Carved out. You carved it out? Or?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So we're idiots. We don't have to do things like that.
I'm a union carpenter.
Excellent. I was just surprised to let you have sharp objects.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of them.
So now where am I going to put
good
this?
At sharpening.
This is great. Oh, you know what? Would you? I have to say, this is horrible to say it, but if you're listening, don't listen. My one of my closest friends. This would be a perfect. Could I regift it? This would
of course.
Be perfect. Oh, yeah. This would be perfect for someone.
It's
that
yours.
I know. Yeah. Thank you so much. This is
Thank
wonderful.
You, Carl. They're nice
again. Wooden. Wonderfully sad.
Nice wooden sign, homemade that's carved out. Says a Mississippi.
So yep. This puts a whole face on your show.
Yep. Exactly.
Wow.
You're just the mighty Mississippi.
You're just amazed. He's gazing around at the studio.
Oh my God.
It's like the Louvre. Kind of We've got Clopsy's visiting too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clopsy. You want to go see Clopsy?
We got all kinds
of Clopsy.
Clopsy's over here. Yeah. And I was just talking about my dog with the automatic spray diarrhea.
So,
Lainey's
giving you the hook.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Lainey. Frisk him on the way out, too.
Things are going a little slow. Get him out of here. She does it to us every
She's like Ed McMahon on the old Tonight Show, right? It's like, move down the couch. Come on.
We should get a couch in here.
We need a couch. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And Dom DeLuise.
You're always thinking, well, that might be a little grotesque at this point, but... Whatever you want. A psychiatrist couch? Okay, yeah. Well, it's funny we get that reaction sometimes from people. It's like, oh, it's better than therapy. So,
yeah. Well, that's kind of how we think of it, too, for us. So.
Yeah, it's cheaper than therapy.
Anyway, thanks to everybody who pledged last week. We did real well. The station came up just a hair short of its the station goal. So
yep.
If you wanted to pledge, you can...
So I'm going to get a haircut to fix that.
You can still pledge through tomorrow and get the premium. So
oh really?
Go
online. That's a pretty nice deal.
Or if you've already pledged and want to, as it says, give us a tip.
Oh, yeah.
It's the tipping culture.
Yeah,
now,
I
so.
See.
Okay. The tipping point, I think, is what All it right. is. But anyway, thanks to everybody who pledged. You know, it really helped that with every pledge we gave away a beagle. I don't know where we got so many beagles. But
So, you know, I actually have a tip jar at my workplace.
Philosopher tip jar.
Philosopher tip jar.
You're like Lucy from Peanuts.
And every now and then some poor student will make the mistake of saying to me, now, what do I need to do in this class to get an A? And I said, let's consult the schedule here and see where we are.
Do you have a rate card?
Something for the tip jar. The other thing I do, which is very a big incentivizer, is at least once a semester, I give a student a $20 bill. Like if we're in a class and I ask a question and nobody's saying anything because everybody's either embarrassed or doesn't want to look like they're smart or whatever. They're just worried that they've got the wrong answer or something. I say, I'll give a $20 bill to whoever... gives me the answer, and then inevitably someone knows it. I mean, it works every single time, and so then they spend the rest of the semester wondering when he'll give out that $20 bill again. And I remember one time I gave one, and the kid looked at me kind of like, and I said, afterwards I said, I didn't mean to insult you, dude. Do you want the $20 bill? And he's like, no, I need that $20 bill.
So. That's funny. They're waiting for the next one.
Yeah, no,
never comes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the dog training.
To me once in a different way in a basketball game. The guy I was guarding got frustrated with me because I was so good, and I was
I see that,
and he elbowed me, gave me like a big elbow right in the jaw.
Yeah.
And then we had like nice close game afterwards, and we were chatting, and he said, I was waiting the whole game for you to retaliate. That was my strategy. And then I elbowed him.
So he was waiting for the blow that never came. Exactly.
Oh, so anyway.
Hey, I got the Hegseth Herr Hurlathon, if you'd like to start.
Oh,
the,
no.
The Hexeth Hurlathon, yep. I don't know if you heard Defense Secretary, self-styled War Secretary Pete Hegseth. He used a D-Day speech in France on Saturday to criticize Europe over its migration policies. And, you know, he's a guy that speaks multiple languages. And so he actually translated the speech right out of the original German, which I got to give him credit for that. It was the 82nd anniversary of D-Day, which is, of course, the largest seaborne invasion in history. So he was at the Normandy American Cemetery. There's over 9,000 graves of U.S. soldiers there. Most of them died on the assault day, June 6th, 1944. But he said, freedom is not free. He also said the European countries have grown too comfortable, all fat and sassy, apparently. Today, European beaches are being stormed by dangerous ideologies. Oh, when will European capitals do something about that invasion? So, hurrah. Have another in the
Hexeth. By the way, support us in our war.
Yeah, you know, our stupid made-up war. Which, when we get done, we'll have the same deal that they kicked out.
We'll have a worse deal.
Obama. We have a worse deal than the one Obama made. The defense secretary also recently blocked the promotions of 9 Navy officers who had been selected for promotion by a board of senior Navy admirals. And the thing you need to know about this is apparently it disproportionately targeted, as you might imagine, women in minorities, because we just want gel-headed frat boys to do things in the military. The net result of Mr. Hegseth's intervention is a slate of 22 nominees to be one-star admirals that bear a little resemblance to the broader force the officers will be commanding.
They eliminated all the women and then a lot of the people of color.
Yeah.
And I was reading about this in that radical publication, military.com. Military Times.
Oh, yeah.
Military Times.
Oh, yeah. And, subscribe to it now.
and they were incensed about it, mm-hmm. because it is not how it's done. I mean, this is, yep. I don't know if it's ever been done, but they were saying this is incredibly rare or has never been done, I forget.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, they said normally they go through this process and the list they're handed is a very... Yeah. pristine list. Yeah.
The defense secretary is a civilian administrator. He does not have expertise in these areas. That's why you ask boards of generals and admirals to make these suggestions.
Right. So, in this case, he was a guy on Fox News. I mean, he has less expertise than, you know, like Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, he was in a war.
Like that,
that was all I needed to know.
Yeah.
I think the encyclopedia fell on him or something at the PX. I forgot what it. He got some Purple Heart, I think. Anyway,
I was thinking. You know, we got the big UFC fight at the White House to celebrate our 250th anniversary.
You know, I need more testosterone injections. I'm just really not vibing with this.
Have you seen that? It looks like looks like, you know, the Greene County Fair or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
offense to the Greene County.
Like we're in Mississippi. We got nothing to talk about.
I was going to say Steel County, which is my hometown.
Nobody
would get that.
No,
so.
Of course.
But it's just a strange. You know, they've got that. They're all excited about having these sweaty guys beat each other up. And then Hegseth, of course, is, you know, Mr. Macho. And
they're beating each other up. I thought they were doing something else.
Well, it depends.
I mean, all Trump can talk about is those gorgeous, luscious men that he's constantly drooling over.
He did something with, like, some Navy cadets a week or so ago, and he was, like, gushing over this one guy and, like, you know, holding his thigh and stuff. It's like, so we got that. And then, you know, a while ago, Cash Patel hired the MMA, the multi-whatever they are, multi-fighting group.
Yeah.
Mixed martial arts.
Yep.
And hired them to teach FBI agents how to fight.
Okay.
Which is, you know, so I mean, they're just obsessed with this macho stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, footnote, it's fighting is a very tiny, tiny, tiny part of an FBI agent's job. Mostly they're accountants you know, forensic accountants and people who can trace things through computer networks.
If I learned anything, it's mostly about planting bugs in people.
Or looking for aliens.
Well, there's the alien part. Yeah, I forgot about that. With Cash in office, though, they'll also be finding them.
Yeah, the Department of Defense also, we got a little Department of Defense roundup, renewable energy groups are suing the U.S. military because they say national security reviews for new wind farms on private land have been effectively frozen for months. The group say this logjam jeopardizes a $47 billion worth of investments and thousands of jobs in 21 states. Of course, Trump is often railed about, you know, windmills and how much he hates them. But the lawsuit against the Pentagon and, again, Pete Hegseth, was filed in U.S. District Court in Oregon by nine groups, including Renewable Northwest and Advanced Power Alliance. They say that a policy of inaction poses an existential threat to the wind energy industry across the nation by effectively halting all new development.
But they're deadly. Ask the birds, or the bird brain, whichever
don't
one.
Don't the whales get caught up in them or something? I forget how that works.
It's complicated.
It's
a complicated story. Hey, I did see this. This is an interesting story. Also out of the Pentagon. We're doing our starting with Hegseth. We're doing our whole Pentagon roundup. Apparently, the Pentagon, and I'm surprised by this, recently issued a report seeing that there's a big threat right now, apparently, in the United States, in our military and our naval forces and so on, from a nation that's been eavesdropping on a lot of our secrets.
Yeah. And China?
No, Israel. Oh. Yep. Recent U.S. intelligence reports have raised concerns about Israeli spy agencies eavesdropping on American negotiators as they work on the peace deal with Iran. They want to know what's going on. And I thought, well, maybe that's just a one-off. But I don't know if you heard about this. Meta has accused an Israeli spyware vendor, this was just this week, of allowing its surveillance technology to be used to target WhatsApp users. Hmm. And this was something that a year ago a federal court had banned. They said, no, you can't do that. You can't, you know, sort of couple this with the other thing. And in a blog post, Meta said that it would seek to hold the group in contempt after detected instances of its popular messaging service users receiving malicious links that were tied with this this group. It's called the NSO Group Technology. So apparently there's they're spying on the talks, and they don't put anything on WhatsApp that might upset the right-wing government of Israel, apparently.
I did see today that Facebook and Instagram were down for quite a while. So,
oh, really?
Maybe there's a little retaliation
Retaliation, yeah. Maybe they were just trying to scrub it a little bit.
Just a guess. Yeah. All right, kind of got a few interesting quotes from the week here. Marco Rubio was talking about, we talked about the
little
the,
Marco,
the fighters out in front of the they're called, it's the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship or something like that. It's Ultimate Fighting. I don't know what the C stands
don't
for.
Don't come to us for information.
Here's Marco Rubio talking about the UFC, though. When President Kennedy announced that we were going to put a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth, no one thought that was possible, and we did it. We are a nation founding on doing what no one else dared to and no one else appeared to. Mm. And at some level, that's what this whole company, what UFC has been. So he's comparing the Ultimate Fighting Company.
Well, he's right that no one would else have dared to or conceived it. Yeah, right. I think people did think it was possible to land on the moon. I just think they thought it was expensive and difficult.
Yeah. I mean, the whole argument back then was, you know, aren't there better ways to spend this money, which was, you know, a fraction of what they were blowing.
A rat done bit my sister Nell and Whitey's on the moon.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Playing golf. You know, when we go to the moon, we have to play the whitest game of all, which would be golf.
Rubio and President and CEO of UFC, Dana White, signed a Memorandum of Understanding Thursday to form a public-private partnership ahead of the cage fights this weekend at the White House. We're having cage fights at the White House.
Well, they're always having those metaphorically.
That's true. And then I like this at the end of the article. They say, Trump, a fan of the sport, has a close relationship with White.
Mm.
Cha-ching. Close relationship.
Yeah, that's a nice euphemism.
Yeah, and then here's my quote of the week, though. This is
quote of the week.
This is from Texas Republican Representative Troy Nehas. He's a MAGA congressman, and he was talking about Donald Trump, and he said, Donald Trump is the best thing to happen to this country in 100 years. He was born a very special baby. I bet the doctor said, I can tell this is a very special baby. And people are still describing him that way.
Three wise men came from the east to see this baby. You can find that online, I'm sure. Yeah,
and the special baby said, I'll keep the gold. Get rid of that other crap.
That's in myrrh.
This is a congressperson talking about the president saying he's a very special baby.
This would be a good time for him to have some myrrh, actually, as he slowly rots in front of our eyes. Myrrh was a thing that you put in the tombs to keep down the odor.
Sure,
so, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So the president was also busy this week putting his time machine in reverse. He offered funding for the first new American coal plant in 13 years. Lucky 13 years.
Really?
Yep. He announced on Thursday that he's going to give $700 million. Take that out of my back pocket, Smithers. In new federal funding for the coal industry. And they're going to build two new clean coal burning plants.
They're going to wash that coal.
Yep. Yeah. Right out of my hair. It was the latest in a series of extraordinary efforts by the administration to improve the fortune of coal. So they want to kill all the windmills. I just state this. It's the obvious. You're listening to this. You know it already. But they want to kill the windmills, and then they want to replace it with more of your funding, more of your money for coal.
Yeah.
Clean, beautiful, lovely coal.
Yeah. And just to remind you, when he was running for president a year and a half, 2 years ago, he met with the coal or with the fossil fuel CEOs and bigwigs.
Sure.
And he told them this right out front. Said, if you raise me $1 billion, I'll give you anything you want.
Ka-ching.
I guess that's
that really is, you know, they're gonna the eagle is gonna have each claw is gonna have a bag of money. One's gonna say tit and then there's gonna say tat. And then it's gonna be a big giant seal with the dollar sign on it. Yeah.
So
it's like Thomas Nast.
Yeah. So you know they're talking about, I don't want to talk about Trump too much.
Who?
But it's hard to avoid. But you know, we talked last week about how they want to put his face and name on a $250 bill.
Oh yeah,
and the people in China are having kind of a chuckle about that because the number 250 in China is slang for in Chinese is slang for idiot.
Excellent. I was speaking about...
I almost started asking for money here. I just slipped into it. Yeah.
Why should Trump make all the money? Come on.
Like automatic money.
So I was talking about AI earlier, and I just want to announce to everybody, in case you're curious, that Anthropic has now released the safe version of Claude. You may remember that back in April, they said they were going to have a new artificial intelligence system called Claude Mythos. But they said they couldn't share this new AI with the public because it basically would destroy the world. It would make it really, really super, super easy for hackers to find ways to break into computer systems. Mm-hmm. And we all just rushed into making everything on those computers. And so that would be, needless to say, a problem. So they've released what they describe. I love this. Anthropic describes this as a straitjacketed version. Yeah, it's also got a muzzle in it that researchers believe is safe for widespread use.
Yeah.
And how does it work? It relies on older technologies. So water wheels, you know. There's a donkey. You got to get them around in a circle.
Carrot in front of it.
Yeah, it works every time.
Oh, that's funny. So, residual algae surfaces in the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool one day after its refill.
Heck of a job, Brownie. How much did they pay those goobers?
I don't know. Did they actually do anything, or were they just
I just get in there with some spick and span, and you know, and a mop, put some more water in,
throw some Clorox in there.
I've seen pools in other countries like reflecting pools and stuff like that, and fountains that are much ickier than that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, you can't walk on it, so... Well, I mean, Trump can, but you know, nobody else can.
He's a special baby.
He's a special baby.
Hey, just a reminder that...
born on third and thought he hit a triple. Remember you said about first President Bush?
That was Bush. Yeah. Reminder to listeners to vote for the Best of Madison.
Yeah, I think that's what they call it.
That, yeah, and
or the rest of Madison or something. Arrested in Madison.
But it's for Madison Magazine. It's on Channel 3000's website.
Yeah. And what's our category this year?
Our category is we're one of the finalists. Our little show is
a finalist.
Is one of the finalists in the best radio team / host. Mm. So I think there are six finalists in there, mm-hmm. and then for the best. Online news category. I don't have it right in front of me, but WRT.
Oh, well, definitely vote for them. Yeah,
is the with our local news department. So
remember the year that they had the best radio personality, and which made it impossible for people to vote for us as a duo.
We were winning. We won a few years in a row, and then they came in. Yeah, best personality, and they split the vote. And now they're like on the Supreme Court. I think the people who made that decision.
That baby too, right in half. Yeah, exactly. I thought that we should have gotten that though as a joint entity. You know, we could have been. Yeah, I mean, between the two of us, we got like one personality, right?
Pretty much.
Let's talk about another president. Dormant Obama Instagram account. Did you hear about this?
No.
Last month, the formal social media account for President Barack Obama suddenly began posting a lot of really weird crap. The account had been dormant since 2017 when the president left office. But there was a bunch of new stuff on there. Deriding President Trump and saying that the White House was under Shiite control. I don't know even what to make of that one. Turns out, of course, this was not made by Mr. Obama or his office. It was a group of hackers that discovered a bug, of course, in a Meta customer service tool that allows anyone to use an artificial intelligence powered chatbot to reset all the passwords and accounts.
Tell me again how Claude is going to
Claude is going to save us.
Just a quick announcement. There's a tomorrow there's a queer liberation march in Madison at McPike Park, and then march to the Capitol. It's a rally at 10 a.m. and then there's an after party at the Cardinal Bar. So it says Queer Liberation March: Defend Bodily Autonomy.
Are puppies with diarrhea invited?
I don't know. It doesn't mention that in the flyer.
You know, that's not in the. That's not among the various letters there. I think that. I think it must be included in the plus.
That's
right?
The plus part. Okay, that's the plus. All right.
So the U.S. Postal Service is. Hop 2 to support the Supreme Leader. They've proposed a new rule that would not allow people to have their mail ballots delivered in any state that doesn't turn over voter rolls to the federal government. This was a rule that was proposed just last week. It's very vaguely written, as you might imagine, and it's basically giving the post office the power based on who does and doesn't share this information with the federal government, the power to unilaterally deny mail ballots to go through the mail. It's going to be challenged in court right away, but this is the kind of stuff that they're doing. It's like, you don't give us the goods, then you don't get your mail ballot.
Mm-hmm. So. And if you give them the goods, they're going to use that to
to do something
screw
else.
Screw over your election anyway.
Yeah, you're screwed either way. Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about sending some black and white photos of people voting by mail through the mail. The way they used to censor the mail is that you couldn't send pornographic pictures through the mail.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, the way we are now, having a picture of somebody sending a mail-in ballot would be a pornographic photo. at least from the point of view of the Trump administration.
Obscene.
Maybe. Obscene, yeah. It was obscene materials, yeah. Encouraging people to vote, that would be obscene. So.
The president has reportedly been evaluated by 22 medical specialists in his last visit.
Wow.
22 specialists in one visit.
Including Dr. Mandrake Scurvy. Eye, ear, nose, and wallet man.
I hope one of them was Dr. Phil. I mean, Dr. Oz.
Oh, I don't know.
RFK Jr.
Yeah. Well, he's not a doctor,
he's
is he?
He's not a doctor.
He plays one.
But, yeah.
So why does he need 20? Let me does he have one for each toe or something? I mean, what is
for each
thing?
Malady? It's the old...
Yeah.
Remember the Simpsons joke where Mr. Burns was alive because he had so many things wrong with him? They couldn't, like, no one thing could
oh,
get
nothing
him.
Could, like, win.
Nothing could get, yeah. You couldn't get through the door. It was like the Three Stooges. All these diseases were trying to get through the door. Yeah.
Nobody could win in that.
So, yeah, 22 good. Medical specialists. So.
I'm sure that's, he's just trying to do a thorough job.
Yeah.
How often does he have an annual physical?
He's had three in the last year.
So it's not annual. That should be a good one.
That we know about.
Yeah, wow. Oh, I don't know. I feel sorry for his infirmities.
You're a better person than I am.
Well, you know.
No, I get it.
I mean,
taking a step back, I'm thinking about all the other stuff. He should not be in that job. I mean, that's a very demanding job.
Yeah.
And he's 80 years old, and he's obviously not all there. Yeah. And he falls asleep all the time.
But we're missing the most important point. He's evil.
Well, he's
always been evil.
It's keeping him out of prison. So it's doing its job.
It's doing its job, yeah.
But,
and he's making scads of money.
He's making tons of money. Yeah.
Sounds like a good gig.
Yeah, so...
You know, we should get turned to the dark side. Come on, people. I mean, you watch some of those podcasters. We could summon up a storm of crap like that.
I'm still amazed at that. I'll see some of this. It's like, I'll, be exposed to somebody doing their shtick. And it's like, how do you have like a million viewers?
The first time I saw Alex Jones, I literally thought he was like an SNL parody. I was like, oh, this is so funny. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, and it turns out that's the guy. I mean, that was his shtick and everybody loved it.
Well, same with a lot of the TV preachers. I mean, they're, you can't make caricatures of those.
I saw this thing this week that just cracked me up. So, there's going to be a lot of people in Seattle for the World Cup. And apparently they have a huge problem there with itinerant preachers, just like on every street corner. I don't know why. It's just like ground zero and there was this one group called, Gospel Invasion is the name of their group. That sounds just about right. So all these people are coming from all over the world and they're like, oh God, I guess we're in the United States,
All the warriors for Christ.
Yeah, I know.
Some of the weightlifters for Christ. I love the weightlifters for Jesus. Those are my favorite people.
I just wonder what gun Jesus would pack. That's my problem.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org, or you could be listening in the future, thanks to our pal Mindless Minion D-Cubed, who does the file management to get us out on the pods.
He obviously likes doing it because he also pledged to the show.
Yeah, no, he's
that's
good,
nice.
He's a good guy.
He's a nice man.
But he does. We're available on Spotify and Apple Pods, and as far as I know, sometimes that kind of ebbs and flows. We'll get an email going, we've disappeared from Spotify.
Yeah, I know. That's
but then we usually show up again. But and we're also available on the archives at on our WRTFM.org page. So, all right, we're going to take a brief break and come back with...
I've got a bunch of stories that are really positive, including the fact that El Nino might actually make the California fire situation not so bad.
Okay, and I have sourdough bread yeast yeast they found in a mummy that you used to... used to make sourdough.
Oh, man.
That's the whole story.
Yeah. We're done.
not much of a tease there.
But that mummy really rose.
Just like mummy used to make.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back in about, 2 minutes.
I love to laugh. Support for this program is provided by WORT's listener sponsors, the National Electrical Contractors Association, Madison Division, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 159, proudly serving electrical contractors and electricians in the Greater Madison area since 1900. More info at IBEW159.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
And we're back.
Having a party here. We got our friends Patrick and Jan with us.
Jaguar just walked in, too.
Jaguar's here. Clopsy's here. Want to say hi to Clopsy?
Hi, Clopsy. Ooh, haircut.
Well, that's right. You see Clopsy often enough to know. Oh, wow. Yeah. Looks so trim and aerodynamic.
Get some nails done too.
Everything.
Wow.
He got his anal glands expressed.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, when Clapsy goes to the spa, he gets a pedi.
They never look at you the same if you do it yourself.
Oiga vault. Hey, I promised you some happy news. Happy news,
yes,
everybody.
Yes, let's have some happy news.
Let's talk about some of the things that's going right. Now, this is a weird kind of thing to go right, but, you know, whatever. So last year, California's wildfires were hideously expensive and, of course, destroyed lots of property, people's livelihoods, and so on. But apparently the El Nino that's forming right now, with the moisture from those storms, there's going to be a lot more rain than usually this year, especially in Southern California. Now, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees in this world, but
I heard it never rains in Southern California.
Well, it's going to rain a lot, apparently, okay. According to Jonathan O'Brien, who's a meteorologist. He's the last meteorologist for the U.S. Forest Service. No, I'm picking that up, but he might as well be.
Probably.
He probably is, yeah. But there are fires year-round, of course, in California because of, you know, what you've just said. It doesn't rain there a lot. But the peak season typically runs from June through October, but this year, that's because of the El Nino phenomenon. The level of rain will be much higher than it has been in the recent past, and that's a good thing. Of course, rainstorms bring their own risk. You have problems. It reduces the fire damage, but of course, if things are dried out, you can have, you know, lightning strikes, and you can have flash floods and things like that. But still, on balance, it will be a positive thing if indeed it works out the way they think it will.
Wow!
So that's good for a change. That's a good thing.
I have a positive story here. There's an uptick in children and teenagers enjoying reading.
That was the very story I had next.
Oh, really?
Next.
For the first time in 5 years.
Yeah.
So children and young people's enjoyment of reading has risen for the first time since 2021, according to new research. Yeah. More than one in three said they liked picking up books in their spare time, an increase. It was 36%. And it was an increase from 32%. Daily habits have improved, too, with one in five children and young people aged 8 to 18 saying they read every day, a rise from last year's figure of about 18%. So.
All we got to do is make something ubiquitous, and everybody says, I don't want to do that anymore. Let's go back to books. I have an additional piece of information, which comes from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, which also said that 9-year-olds, they do a study where they do 9-year-olds and 13-year-olds to see what their reading abilities are. And this goes back to the 1970s. And they discovered that the reading ability for 9-year-olds has gone up from what it has been in the recent past. These were kids that were in preschool when the pandemic hit. So they've made a very significant recovery in reading. And they're now caught up to where 9-year-olds were immediately before the pandemic. Unfortunately, this is the downside, but let's look at the bright ones with the 9-year-olds. But the downside for our 13-year-olds, of course, those that were disrupted by the pandemic, there's been no recovery in their reading scores. But those little 9-year-olds are getting it done, so that's a positive.
All right.
What else you got?
I told you I've been reading Military Times, that radical publication here.
Yeah.
Here's a story. A sailor was drinking an energy drink. He was guzzling it, and he found that there was a decomposing corpse of a rat in the bottom of the can.
Oh, fair.
So,
what else is new? Get a life. It's America.
He said it's a full-size rat.
Yay.
It's a big rat. He checked into the hospital, and this is the reason I brought the story in.
Okay.
The medical personnel said that it was most likely that, quote, with the chemicals that are in Monster, that should be okay. So you're drinking formaldehyde, yeah, yeah. Is what they're saying.
Guaranteed to kill anything. Drink up.
On a related note, there's a Christian energy drink called Yahweh. It's got a picture of
Yahweh,
a Scandinavian Jesus there. Kind of looks like Jared Leto.
Man, those blue eyes are getting to me, I got to tell you.
There's more than one. There's one called Yahweh, and there's one called Praise.
Oh, Lord.
They say they're raising awareness for Christianity.
Uh-huh. And, yeah. Ka-ching! I can just see Jesus knocking those babies off the table at the temple.
Well, if he'd had a couple of those, wouldn't have gotten to him so fast.
Yeah,
he could have fought his way out of that.
Have you ever seen Boxing Jesus? It's like there's all this weird subculture of iconography associated with American evangelism that always involves showing Jesus as some kind of like burly dude.
I've seen him like really ripped.
Yeah, really ripped. Well, there's one actually where he's literally punching somebody with boxing gloves on.
The Prince of Peace.
Yeah, I mean, this guy probably weighed 90 pounds at most, right? I mean, if you really think about it for 5 minutes. Any rate, whatever.
No, because he could make as much food as he wanted. You know, he would just gotta
get. He just makes that for other people, dude.
I mean, he wouldn't do that for himself?
No, he's Jesus. Come on.
Would he make the wine for himself?
No. Well,
that's why he had the 12 guys hanging around him.
Well, you remember the
Jesus brought a wine.
The disciples were all sleeping when they were in the garden, right? I mean, it was like
they're all passed out.
Yeah, passed out. Yeah, of course.
Speaking of books, we were speaking about reading here. What they're called dad books.
Oh, yeah.
Books about like biographies and history. And
World War II for the 73rd time.
Abraham Lincoln. Dad books are a dying breed, according to publishers.
Oh, no.
Sales have been sliding for nonfiction titles about politics, biographies, and other books often aimed at men.
Yeah. Well, both my dad and my father-in-law are deceased, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm trying to think of what was the most recent dad book I bought for a male friend. Probably the Grant biography. I don't know if you saw that when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ulysses S. Grant, yeah. That's a dad book.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, those books are like, they're easy to read because, and they're true. I mean, they attempt to be true, right? So it's no fancy pants fiction or anything.
The Bill O'Reilly
version. Yeah, the Bill O'Reilly version. Exactly. But they're like doorstops, too. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you feel like you're really accomplishing something when you get done with that.
Sure.
It's like, it's not just a book, it's a mega book, you know. And you can do exercise while you're reading it. You know, just kind of just do a little weightlifting there. Get the biceps toned up, It's excellent. Oh, here's a positive piece of information. I start this by saying that recently the governor, and I saw this, Mel, but the governor of Texas, the Honorable Greg Abbott, has been saying that he's very happy to have data centers in the great state of Texas, and he thinks it'd be great, and is all for it. And recently he did a big U-turn. He's got new regulations he would like to place on the state's booming data center industry. And they're getting rid of some tax incentives, apparently, that the state had. And they're requiring, and I thought this was amazing, water-efficient technologies for these data centers. Now, this is very unusual that a free market guy like Governor Abbott would be on the sort of the downside of this phenomenon, but it turns out that this is pretty common right now around the country. Right now, it's mostly at the local level. There's 100 proposed moratoriums at local county, state, and state levels across the United States to hold up or to create a more stringent regimen for building these data centers. So cities, some of the cities included here are Tulsa and Birmingham, which, of course, are in the south, New Orleans, and Ypsilanti in Michigan. They've all implemented temporary bans on permitting or construction and tons of different places here in the United States. They were going to do 28. This is, I mean, I think part of this, again, is just like how fast this is going. 28 data centers are planned for New York State alone, which could expand the state's energy use by about a third, they estimate. And so last August, 40% of respondents in a poll done by Heatmap News said that they oppose a data center. But by May of this year, it had risen to 70%.
Wow.
And these are people that don't just, you know, they're worried about being in their backyard. They're worrying about it because they have an understanding of the systemic implications, especially the rising energy bills and water deficiency.
Mm-hmm. It's really gotten to be something that cuts across a lot of, you know, ideologies and party lines. I mean, it's people on, you know, red, blue, green, yet purple, whatever. You know, they do not like this idea. You know, and they don't like, I think mostly they don't like the idea of having it just spring up like it just popped out of Zeus's forehead or something. And it's like, no, we should, you know, plan this and talk about the implications and what's this going to do to my electric bill. I mean, that's, you know, that's really what hits people is like, I don't want my electric bill to double just so that, you know, they can have, you know, AI pictures.
So they can fire us all.
Well, yeah.
There's that too. Hey, okay, now how is this working? You're going to get rid of my job and you're going to take all my water and my energy costs are going to be higher.
Yeah. And it's not even like they're big job creators.
No.
It's like, you know, like one guy who comes in and hits the reset button every once in a while.
Well, no, actually, the job of the future is the dog that sits there and makes sure the guy does not press any buttons.
So we have heard for a long time about how smart dolphins are, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so here's just a little more evidence to that. Female dolphins remember and avoid aggressive male dolphins.
Yeah.
So,
hurrah! Yes, thank you.
They identify.
We got a little response from the peanut gallery over there.
Female dolphins identify males by their unique calls and keep track of their past behavior.
Yeah.
They don't forget anything. Choosing to avoid the most aggressive males during mating season.
Wow, voters have just done that with Trump.
Yeah.
Flipper says stay away from that guy.
Now, a small percentage of the female dolphins say, I can fix him.
Yeah.
but that never works.
It does not work.
During mating season, the males often work together in pairs or trios.
Dreadful. So
they have like a little wingman.
Nature is disgusting.
They gain access to males by aggressively herding them.
Yep.
And the females remember that and say, screw you, buddy.
Yep. Or not.
Have you heard of this thing called a goblin shark?
They're very ugly. I know.
Yeah, they're ridiculously ugly. They found a picture. They got a picture of one recently in the Deep Sea Research Center.
Yeah.
They were almost never seen alive, and they've gotten a picture of one that's alive. It's a pretty blurry picture. It's in the Tonga Trench, which sounds pretty deep to me, somewhere in the Pacific. But yeah, these are, you got to look, folks, you got to look these up on the
goblin
the images there. Yeah. They're right out of a horror movie or some science fiction thing. It's just amazing. But it's pretty cool if they actually found
But they one. All had a mother once.
They were special little goblins.
That's right. Hey, you mentioned there's a lot of events going on in town for Pride Month. There was a little, I saw a story in the Wisconsin State Journal. They were talking about different states that are more or less friendly to gays, lesbians, transgender, et cetera. And we did not make the top five in Wisconsin. We're kind of in the mid-range. But in case you're curious, some of the states that made the top are number one, Massachusetts, number two, New York, number three, Connecticut, number four, New Jersey. And here's a little two cheers from the Midwest. Number five was Illinois. And not surprisingly, the lowest ranking states, Florida, 46, South Carolina, 47, Idaho, 48, Tennessee, 49, and Arkansas, 50. So if you're gay and in Arkansas, our condolences. There's evidence now that Neanderthals were involved in dentistry. And I know one of them.
I went to him for a while. Yeah.
No, apparently people were working on other people's teeth. I don't know with what level of consent. As far ago as 59,000 years. Can you believe this? This was a study that was
59,000?
59,000 years. Almost 60,000 years ago. Apparently,
on the waiting list.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Next.
Finally. It's only been 59,000 years. Can you hit me in the head with a rock? Okay, can do. No, they found a tooth in a Neanderthal with it was a molar with this really weird deep hole in it. And they thought, well, that's not a natural formation at all. And then they found some more. It turns out that they would use these very fine pointed drills, which they would make from jasper, which is a kind of quartz. And they would dig out a tooth if it was causing pain. And I guess what they must have done is something like, you know, deactivated the nerve on the inside or something like that. But yeah, this is amazing because it is an incredible find. Most researchers thought that the most recent dentistry was basically about, I don't know, maybe 20,000 years ago. But we're moving it all the way up to almost 60,000 years ago. People were already figuring out how to do this. Now, of course, the problem is... you got a lot of willpower when you got no anesthesia, especially if you're doing root canals.
And there were no bullets to bite.
There were no bullets to bite. But it's also possible they use some kind of herbal remedy or something.
Sure.
I mean, people have known about the analgesic properties of willow, for example, for a very long time. So they may well have been able to fill in the blanks there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still pretty amazing to think how early it was that people were figuring this out. Huh.
My dentist still has some of those magazines. Mammoth Monthly.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Hell, Michigan is for sale.
Really?
Yeah. It's a popular tourist town.
No doubt.
Just hit the market. The asking price is about $600,000.
Mm.
The listing includes just over 7 acres of land, 2 buildings, one used to house a restaurant and another with a current retail shop, plus a miniature golf course. So there's a miniature golf course in hell. I would have guessed that.
You know, by the way, that the road to hell is paid by mafia contractors, right? Road construction, next 60 million miles.
I'm trying to imagine what the miniature golf course in hell would look like. Like the windmills would be going like 8,000 RPMs.
Well, just go down to Mar-a-Lago and you'll see.
That's true.
Here's another piece of positive news, speaking of Florida. The University of Florida Board of Trustees on Wednesday unanimously backed a man by the name of Stuart R. Bell to become their next president. And the thing that's especially interesting about this is that Stuart R. Bell is not a MAGA supporter. He's fine with DEI. They found some quotes, especially around the time of the George Floyd murder, that apparently raised some eyebrows among some right-wingers down there. But you know what? Maybe the worm is turning here because... the board and people at the university were like, screw you. You know, this guy's a great scholar. He's 69 years old. He was included in a committee that was formed in 2019 to support ongoing coordination expansion of efforts related to DEI at the university at the time. So he was originally the president of the University of Alabama. And so there he is. Caller said she worked in and owned a dental office for years, and you can use clove oil for pain relief. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
That's very helpful. The next time I go to the dentist, I'll let the Neanderthal there know that. clove this time, Dr. Sword. Actually, the dentist I had when I was growing up in Eastern Kentucky, of course, you know, I didn't go to the dentist till I had enough money for it because my parents wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But his name literally was Dr. Sword. Like this, like.
Sword?
Yeah. Dr. Like, you know, like, yeah. He was the guy. So he took out two of my back molars and he said, and this is absolutely completely false, by the way. He said, I'm going to take these out because they're really bad. He said, what will happen is when your wisdom teeth come in, I can't believe he said this, but I'll tell you what he said. It'll move all the other teeth forward. It's like, okay, that's not how teeth work.
That's what it says here in this pamphlet.
Yeah, I know. Take two Jesus and you'll feel better. Yeah, that was the end of the...
Oh, my goodness.
It was pretty amazing. By the way, it doesn't work that way. I just want to let you know. I had to have my wisdom teeth removed as well.
Oh, funny. Sexism is a stronger predictor of politics than gender.
Yep.
As we know, since this is a recent systematic review published in Public Opinion Quarterly suggests that a voter's level of sexism is a significant predictor of their political attitudes and voting choices. They analyzed 100 previous studies, and they found that, I'm looking at different types of prejudice, and everything from support to right-wing candidates to opinions on climate change. The findings highlight how deeply ingrained beliefs about gender roles continue to influence the modern political landscape.
Yep. I don't know if you've been following this whole situation with 60 Minutes, but apparently Scott Pelley's departure has put the fear of the Lord into David Ellison. He recently promised, and I'm sure this is just as... worth the paper it's printed on. He said that he would respect editorial independence in 60 Minutes. He had a conversation with Leslie Stahl, who's one of the remaining correspondents there. And I think if they just were thinking of it from the money point of view, everybody getting up and leaving would probably be a bad idea because they do actually make money off of this program. It's got a lot of viewers. So, he said... they were having, I thought this was funny, they were having a champagne toast, apparently, to 60 Minutes or some kind of BS corporate thing they were doing. I don't know.
A wait?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Smarter people are more likely to change their mind when the solutions they're pursuing don't work.
Mm.
They're more likely to ditch old habits for better ideas.
Mm. I would define that as the definition of being smart.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a circular logic but
you're responding to evidence.
That's the ability to learn from others is a trait that is crucial to human evolutionary success.
Yeah.
It's called social learning, and it seems to be a good thing.
To be fair, though, I mean, our learning has become so specialized that there's a high bar to entry. And so if people can't trust other people or they don't know how to evaluate the information they're getting, then they tend to go into kind of defensive crouch.
Sure.
I think that's where a lot of modern skepticism comes
from.
Yeah,
sure.
It's like, I don't know. And if I don't know how this works or have an independent standard for evaluating you, then I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
So I just believe whatever grandma told me.
Right. Well, and that's...
Because I like grandma and she's nice.
Yeah. And I mean, that's gotten polluted over the years. They've taken... People like Fox News, for example.
Yeah,
that's an obvious example. But I mean, they took the trappings of a news program.
Sure.
And people have grown up watching that news program. And there's certain agreements, kind of unspoken agreements, saying, okay, when somebody has a news program, this stuff is true. They've researched it. They've fact checked it. And that doesn't hold for something like Fox News. But it looks the same.
Yeah.
And it's the same with like the podcasters or websites that look like newspapers.
Sure.
And so it's a very stressful on your brain to try to sort through all that stuff.
I don't want to get into too much detail, but I just mention real quickly. I actually wrote a paper, did a study on this several years ago, and I found that the number one thing that students use when they're doing research online is, what does a site look like?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
Right.
Because I think most of us think quality is a stand-in for legitimacy, or quality is a stand-in for, people are putting money into it and something like that. It must be a real deal.
Right.
So.
And, we've talked about the we got to get out of here pretty quick, but the think tanks, which were kind of like tried to pretend that they were like colleges or
that was the smartest thing the right wing ever did. Yeah,
researchers. Yep. You know, we did a study and we found out that this is the greatest thing ever if you cut taxes. And,
All these research fellows they have at these places.
All right, time to we got to get out of here. Time to declare the weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
Hoorah!
I don't know what it's gonna do. Mm. Nobody does, because it's just all magic.
It's the windmills.
Can't trust anybody. So thanks for listening, everybody. Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with The Real Jaguar. And we had fun here today. Our friends Patrick and Jan were here.
Yep,
and
yep.
Clopsy was here. And Lainey popped in.
Yep.
And the Jaguar was here.
Don't forget our wonderful cosmic guy.
Oh, yeah. Cosmic guy brought in our signs for Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Little homemade wooden signs. I have to find a nice spot to hide that.
I know exactly who wants one of those. So I'm very excited.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks again. It is 2:00. You are listening to WRT Madison.
Hey, hot pants. Now look, hot pants won't make you dance, but as slick as you are, you make the pants.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, June 12th.
Remember long, long ago in the old-timey days of politics? Way back, maybe 10 years or so. In those olden times, if someone or some corporation gave $1 million to a political candidate, the donation was scandalous news, a bribe. Ah, I miss those innocent days when ethical outrage could erupt over a mere million. These days, a high-dollar campaign would indignantly return such a paltry check to the donor, demanding that a couple of zeros be added. Welcome to our glorious age of billion-dollar bribery. But a lot of people get lost in the illions, thinking that the B number is just an inflated M. So perhaps they assume that the level of corruption hasn't gotten that much worse. Wrong. To help clarify, think of those M's and B's not as dollars, but time. Specifically, seconds on the clock. A million seconds is 11 days, but a